CHD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson, Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness, Mikael Mears' Financial Consciousness, and nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe. Hey, good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We are welcoming a new co-host today. It is Shaman Rai, who is joining us. He's going to be joining us every first and third Friday of the month. He is a very gifted psychic and medium. We're very excited to have you.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to being here. I, you and I have had fun off the air, so now we can have fun on the air.
That's it.
Great.
That's it.
Good.
So why don't you, I always like to have the first one as kind of an introduction, although we will open up the line. So if you have some questions and you want Shaman Rai to answer them, do give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. And for those of you that are at work that can't call in, feel free to instant feedback us on the homepage. Just be really clear about what it is that you're wanting to know. And please use your real name so that Shaman Rai can connect in with your energy. Sometimes people like to not say their real name. Just give us your real name so that it's easier to connect in. All right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how this all started for you?
Well, you know, it's funny. This kind of evolves in a way where you don't even know it until all of a sudden it's there. You know, I actually remember when I was 3 years old and I crawled out of bed and I got on my knees and I prayed. And by the way, I was from a Jewish household that didn't get down on its knees and pray. So and then a psychic told me that actually just about at birth, I was out meditating. So it's something that I came into this world with. And I've had many, many lifetimes in service to God. I've seen myself as a Tibetan monk. I've been a rabbi. I've held many, many. I was actually a saint. I was sainted by the church in another lifetime, many different lifetimes that I've seen. But in this lifetime, so it began, you know, when I was three, and then when I was about six, I remember my mother's mother had passed away, and I was sitting at her feet while she was sitting on the piano bench, and all of a sudden, I felt my grandmother come to me on my right shoulder, and I knew it was my grandmother, and I knew I couldn't tell my mother that she was there. I looked at my mother. So that was the first feeling that I had of the other side and being with a loved one. And then throughout the years, I had many, many visions. Most of the visions came to me in dreams. But as I was telling you before, Lori, my first wife, I would drive her crazy because literally as I would be driving in the car, she would look at me and she would say, "Where are you?" I wasn't there. I had gone out of the body connecting with other beings, and she could see my lips moving as I was communicating with them. And so that continued on very, very strongly. But the real intense opportunity for me, and by the way, with that first wife, again, I had that strong feeling for meditation. And I was in graduate school, and I went in, and I bought a book on meditation, and I came home to our apartment. Having read the book, I sat down in our living room, and she wasn't home at the time, and I sat down to meditate, and she walked in the room, and she screamed and said, "What the H are you doing?" And I knew that she wasn't ready for me to be sitting and meditating yet, so I had to put that away for a few years. But I always had that very strong desire, and a lot of times when I communicate with people, you know, to give them guidance, I tell them, begin your process of opening yourself up by beginning the process of meditation, because I really, that's what opened so many of my visions and allowed me to connect with who I am. But what happened was that finally we had a house and I had a room where I could go into in private. And I started, I was reading many books. I read Seth, and I'd go from Seth to another book to another book, and it was all leading me down a path. And I finally picked up material by Dick Sutphin. It was about a past life, and also it talked a little bit about his soulmate in this life. And he had videotapes. At that time, they were videotapes, which were kind of self-hypnosis. And so I began doing that work, and then I went into doing Plato's Cave, which is a story that Plato wrote about looking into a cave and all the beings could see with the shadows on the walls. They never saw the light that where the source of the light was coming from. And I'm getting chills now as I talk about this. Mm-hmm. And it was a very powerful meditation, and that began to open me up even more. Well, the big time actually came for me when I had a business of my own, and my client was in Chicago, and my practice was always when waiting for clients, I'd find a local bookstore and look for the New Age books. And so I walk into this bookstore, and for the first time, I received a telepathic message. It was a very clear message. It says, there's a book for you by an Indian, but it's not Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, because that was I had done TM many years earlier. And so I walk around, and there all of a sudden on the bottom shelf is one copy of a book that is the eyes are staring at me, and it's by Paramahansa Yogananda. It's the autobiography of a yogi. And that book has opened up many people, and the work has opened up many people. And as soon as I saw that book, I knew that was where I was supposed to be. And for the next 2 years, I studied the Self-Realization Fellowship training manual from Yogananda, and did very deep meditation. And I remember early on, I was in my room meditating, and all of a sudden I felt or smelled the roses. The room filled with this beautiful essence of roses, and I knew Mother Mary was there. And Mother Mary has always come to my life. She helps me in my healing work now, especially soul retrieval work and other things, and she's always been there for me, and she played another critical part that I'll tell you about in a minute. But all of this, so it began to open me up more and more and more, and Yogananda has played a major role in my life. And one of the major ones was we hold convocation, the Self-Realization Fellowship, the devotees of Yogananda. We hold a convocation every year. I've only gone twice in my lifetime. The first time I went, I was fascinated by photographs of Yogananda. He left the body in 1952, so all I was looking at were photographs of him before he had passed. And all of a sudden, I kept being drawn back to this one photograph over and over. During every recess, I'd go back and I'd go back. All of a sudden, I'm looking at it, and a blast of energy comes out of the picture into my heart and knocks me against the pillar. I was crazy the rest of the convocation. My friends said they looked at me and I was not on the ground. I was up in the air floating along, and they didn't know what had happened to me. So that was the real beginning. Even though I had visions in between all of that and I had other significant things happen to me, that to me was the major thing that opened up for me. In fact, what happened around that time, I'm not sure of the sequence now, but I had seen a number of my lifetimes. They just appeared, like being a Tibetan monk and so forth. And one of my lifetimes, I knew I was Pierre Perrault d'Armancourt, who was the son of Pierre Perrault. And what was significant about his life for me was that he had been stabbed in the left breast on horse in battle. Well, I was so attuned to this being of myself, this essence of myself at that lifetime, that one day my children yelled because they saw me with a shirt off, and for the first time ever, a scar appeared under my left breast. And once I recognized what it was all about, the scar disappeared. So there were these manifestations and then disappearances that occurred in my life. And the second opening of my heart, which was the most critical, occurred when I was sent by my bosses to Italy on a project. And it gets me emotional just thinking about it now. But I went there not knowing who I was supposed to meet, who was my coordinator on the project out there, and a woman pops out the door. She stands in the doorway, and all of a sudden my heart explodes. And I didn't understand what happened to me. It was an explosion of pure love, and I didn't know this woman for anything, okay? And so the next day, the outside my hotel was the Cathedral Duomo in Milan. A Duomo means cathedral in Italian, but they call it the Cathedral Duomo in Milan, or we do, Americans do. And I went in there, and I sat down in the church, and as I often do, I demanded of God to know, who is she? Right? You know, no fooling around here. You know, ask for it, it shall be given, you know? Well, what happened was that it was like, imagine that you're in a theater and the curtain rises slowly so that the back, that what's behind it is revealed. And the reveal was a woman in pure white habit, holding a scepter and a sword. And for many years, I thought, I didn't know who it was. I knew it was a soldier of Christ, but I didn't know who it was. Sure enough, I found out shortly after meeting my twin flame who it was. The symbols finally came together. It was Mother Mary. And Mother Mary was there completing the work of opening my heart, which ultimately led to me meeting my soulmate, and now meeting my twin flame. So that's kind of a quick summary of, obviously there are a lot of details in there, and I've tried to, in between there, and I've tried to pick out the most meaningful ones, you know, or the high points, if you will. But that gives you a little bit of an idea of who I am. I will say this, in terms of the healing abilities and the psychic abilities that have opened up, what that all is about is I meditated using the Kriya Yoga that Yogananda gave us, which Babaji, his guru's guru, gave to him. I've done that for over 30 years, and the Kriya Yoga clears your karma. That's what it does. It clears your karma. And so imagine doing this every day, multiple times, and for 30 years. And then what happened was I met a shaman who I knew in past life, who then cleared the issues for me from my last life and many other lives and showed me, and I had many visions, and that cleared out the rest of, let's call it the gunk that I had in me. Well, when all of that gunk, when all of those energetic blocks were removed, suddenly all of these abilities opened up for me. And when I say all of these abilities, I'm not bragging. I'm actually grateful and in awe of the things that have opened up for me. So I've jabbered away here for a while. Let me let you in. You can ask me questions or whatever that you want to focus on.
Okay. Well, actually, you just picked a perfect time because we're going to go to our first break. But we do have a phone call, so we will probably take that when we get back from break. But you're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Shaman Rai with us today. You can find out more about him if you go to his website, shamanrai.com. And we are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Are you unhappy in your career? Struggling with work-life balance? Stuck in a dead-end job that doesn't play to your strengths? You deserve to design your own career destiny so you can thrive. Caroline Dowd Higgins can show you how. Best-selling author, CBS Coach Me radio host, and nationally acclaimed public speaker, Caroline Dowd Higgins has engaged audiences with inspiration and practical solutions so you can pursue the career of your dreams. Write this website down if you are looking for career inspiration. CarolineDowdHiggins.com. Consider bringing Caroline in to speak at your next event. Her style is high energy and engaging, and audiences around the country sing her praises. Life is too short to be in a career you hate. Learn more at CarolineDowdHiggins.com.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have our newest co-host with us, Shaman Rai, and it looks like people have been really tuning in with your first message about how all of these gifts came about, because we got two calls. So we are going to start, I believe, with Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Hello.
Hey.
So hi.
Tell us a bit about
what's
going on.
Thank you for taking my call. I was calling because I just wanted some maybe insight in terms of releasing sabotaging behaviors, opening more opportunity around finances, and like maybe, I don't know if a totem animal, I don't know what exactly could help me in those areas, but that's what my question is.
Cool. And all I know right. that's a big discussion for a lot of people. The other one's about romance, so we're gonna help a lot of people today. So.
Cool. And let me also mention that if I don't get to everybody's questions, that I am on Facebook, and I welcome people to be friends, and I do address questions individually there through our friendship on Facebook. But I encourage you to call in like this because it gives me more chance to attune. I want to ask something, Lisa. I'm seeing a baby, a young baby being held in the arms of a mother. Does that have anything to do with you, Lisa?
No, I don't have any children, but I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and okay. And I'm around my family a lot. So,
is there one that is relatively newly born? It looks like it may only be a couple of months old, and it's being held with the head in the two hands. Imagine the hands in prayer, but held out, and the baby is lying within the hands that way. Do you hold the babies like that in giving them support?
My mother holds them like that. I don't typically hold them when they're that small, but my mom, whenever we have one of my nieces or nephews, she'll bless the baby. And the youngest one that was just born was April like, oh boy, maybe the end of April. So he's relatively small. So she had come over. People bring their babies over. My mother blessed them. So that's maybe what you're seeing. I'm very close to my mom.
Okay, well, then that's probably what I'm seeing. So there's some connection that's coming through there for your mother and the work that she is doing. And what I'm getting a lot of chills now as I start to think about and see your mother. The image is starting to change. I just want to focus in and see exactly what I'm seeing here. But I'm starting to see the right side of a woman's hair. Is your mother's curly or is yours curly?
I wear braids in my mother's hair. She's when she rolls it up, it'll have a slight curl to it, but she wears it in the natural where I'm black. So her hair is, you know, it has a slight curl to it when she puts her rollers in it, yes.
Okay. I'm getting the feeling that it's through your mother that what we're talking about for you is really coming through your mother, because so much of what you're describing is sounds closer to your mother and your mother's influence. And I'm just getting really good energy coming from your mother having to do this. And so what I'm hearing is for you to align more with your mother, and I'm getting chills as I say that, for you to align more with your mother. In other words, what there is for you to do is use her as your role model in taking on, they say, in shifting an attitude of yours. And the word they use is belief. They're saying that there's a belief that you hold that is blocking you, and they're starting to send me another image, but there's an attitude that you hold that is blocking you that your mother can actually aid you in freeing up. And I have a feeling it has to come through the blessings that your mother is capable of giving, and I'm getting more chills on that one. So it's definitely your mother is a powerhouse, and I have the feeling, and that's what I'm seeing. I'm having the feeling I'm seeing your mother on the left. I'm seeing you on the right. I'm seeing a lot of vibration and energy coming from your mother. I'm not seeing the vibration coming from you. I'm getting the feeling that you're blocking whatever it is, the gift that your mother has. You're not accepting it from her. If you would open up and receive, your mother can actually be a fabulous conduit for you to open you up and release the things that are blocking you and stopping you from all that you can be, and then you'll be a lot happier. I hope that's helpful.
Well, thank you for sharing. I would definitely, I'll have my mom. We could pray together when we don't really do that a lot, but that seems like, because she prays for people all the time, and I've asked, we have never done that together, but maybe that's what, from what you see with this image, it seems like that's what I need to talk to her about that. So thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
Let us know what happens, Lisa.
Yeah.
Okay,
hey, Lori,
thank you so much.
Lori?
Yes.
You know, I'd like to make a point about that, because she really, it was really valuable what this first caller gave us an opportunity to see. Many times people come and they see one thing as their issue. And what they don't realize is that basically when we're stuck somewhere, there's energy that is blocked, there's a block that is preventing the flow of that energy to allow what they believe they want. And so once we get into it, very often it's not focused just, let's say, on money or relations or whatever, but it may actually have something to do with another part of their life or another part of or a past life that needs to be cleared. So that's a large part of what goes on here.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's connect in with Eleanor.
Hello?
Hey, there you are. Okay, tell us a little bit about what's going on. You've had a little bit of a dry spell in your romantic life?
Yes, I'm a mature woman, and I would like to have an experience to share my life with a male partner. I've been away from that for the past 2.5 years, and I'm praying that things will change.
Okay. Eleanor, let me ask you something. And whatever comes through me, I want you to understand it's being said for your highest good. And so it's not that's all the intention is behind it. But I want to ask you something. The very first word that I heard as you spoke was angry. Is that a word that describes in any way?
Maybe, yeah. I could relate with that.
Okay. What is there, they're saying, is that understand that all we are is vibration. That's everything is vibration, okay? Whether you're, it's meat, it's fish, it's chicken, it's people, it's a house, it's a car, it's a vibration, and they all occur at a different vibration. We attract to us that which vibrates with us, okay? But if we send out a signal that of anger, that tends to be a lower vibration than, let's say, love, which is a very high vibration. So what is there, the reason that they focus on the anger, and your question is about love, is there's a very great disparity between the vibration of anger and the vibration of love or romance, because that's what romance implies. That's what I understand it to be, is a love between two people. So to get to that point of drawing one who loves you as much as you love them is going to take some work on your part to release that anger. Now, that's not something I can do on the radio show in a very short period of time, because I don't know where it comes from. It may come from this lifetime. It may have come from a childhood. It may be other lifetimes, and it may require some clearing up to go. And so, you know, I encourage you to get some spiritual or other guidance, whatever you're comfortable with, in order to deal with that anger so that you can attract that romance. If you do that work, I'm just listening. Just give me a second. They say, yes, if you do that work, if you really commit yourself to releasing those feelings that are in there that are holding you in a state of anger, they say, yes, of course, you're going to attract one to you at the vibration level that you are, but you need to raise up and you need to release this anger first. I hope that's helpful to you.
Yes, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Have a great day.
You too. Let us know what happens, Eleanor. All right. So this has been nice. We will open up the lines again. So if you have some questions for Shaman Rai, give us a call now, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. Or if you're at work and you need to send us an instant feedback, just be really clear about what it is and please use your real name. We don't mention the full name anyway, but just use your name so we can connect in with your vibration. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
Happiness makes
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We are introducing Shaman Rai to our audience today. He will be with us every first and third Friday of the month. I'm so pleased that everybody is already connecting in with him and sending us questions and calling in. If you do have a question you want to call in, give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685, or send an instant feedback. And right now we have an instant feedback from Anna. She just wanted to ask what you see in her future regarding her love life. She recently met someone, but she feels like challenges are coming. Will things go further, or will I ever meet anyone? Well, that's an interesting question. Any feedback is greatly appreciated.
All right. Well, Anna, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. Obviously, whatever is coming through is not me. It's just coming through. So the very first word I heard, as Lori said, Anna's name, I got chills, and then suddenly I heard the word help. And then now it's saying, help me. There's a disturbance here of some kind, and I'm hearing the word pain, and then I'm hearing the word ugly, not loving. And I don't see this, just based on what I'm saying, and I think you wouldn't even need my interpretation because of the words that have come up, but this does not sound like something that is going to be long-lasting. Now, they've changed the vision on me, and what I'm seeing is like a champagne glass. It's a rounded one. It's actually like an ice cream dish, but I saw somebody drinking it as though they were drinking champagne from this glass, which is a kind of showing that there is going to be celebration. The celebration will be, they say it'll be at the end, when you end this relationship and begin to move on in your life. They're saying that there's an issue that even attracts you to this type of a man. And they say you're a much better person than you realize, and that you should value yourself a lot more. And I get this very often. It's not, you know, this is not the first time I've heard this said, and I think all of us have this as an issue, that we were raised in this world where we were put down in various ways or things were done to us. So I don't want you to feel like this is exclusive to you, but it's part of the releasing that we're all doing as we're in the process of ascension. And it's an ego thing that for you to let go of, again, of a past issue, either in this life or a past life. But what they're saying is, as your vibration rises, you will start to release more. And again, like I've told many other people, a place to start is with meditation. If you want to look at my website, I have an article there about raising your vibration, which talks about certain prayers that you can say and other things like that. And of course, if you can get somebody to work with you to help release these past issues, they say childhood. So you had some issues from your childhood that are actually causing you to select or be attracted to or attract to you this type of a man. So work on that. Go celebrate once you end this relationship is what they're saying. I hope that's helpful to you, Anna.
Nice. Okay, so what I'm wondering, what is your favorite type of work that you do?
I think the most rewarding for me, you know, I basically go where the person wants to go. So, you know, like these types of questions are often questions that I get. But what I most like is when I can do a session, not just a quick question, but a full session with somebody that's really a healing session, and where I can help somebody that's one major thing. I mean, I've seen major shifts in people's lives, on in the social world, in their relations, and in all kinds of things. People who were blocked in their success, and it was because of a trauma with their father, you know, when they were earlier. So that is the most rewarding, because I really see that I help. After that, what I'm seeing is when somebody has lost a dear one, and I can connect them to that dear one, I find that so wonderful. They are so raised up. They're so filled with love. That's why they want to connect with these beings on the other side. And that happened today, you know, through my Facebook. There was a woman who had a son who passed away. And, you know, the words that I said, she was just so grateful. And what was surprising was, although it was a different name, the guide for this child on the other side was actually an earlier son that she had. And she recognized once we got through that. But she was, you know, you can see people glow when they have that connection with the dear ones who were there. So I would say those are the two most rewarding. But I like just helping people. I mean, to me, I'm all about service, and any way that I can be of service, that's what I do. That's why I'm open on Facebook, and people contact me, and I answer their questions, no charge, and just like we're doing here on the radio show, and we'll continue to do on the radio show. I just want to be of help to people.
Nice. That's very endearing. I'm sure that will allow you to connect with a lot of people. And so is your Facebook Shaman Ra? I don't know why I'm having a problem with that.
No, it's easy. You can either think of rye bread, or you can say goodbye. <You know? laughs> And then it's Shaman Rye.
You know? Okay. So Rye is spelled R-A-I.
Right.
For everybody that is wanting to connect in with him, it's R-A-I. All right. So, okay. I'm going to bring in, you know, something about relationships. I think relationships is an interesting piece, and you mentioned relationships a lot when you were talking about, you know, all of the things that were kind of going on with you. So what are people, I mean, clearly we have blocks in some cases, or, you know, it certainly is about the vibration that we radiate as to what it is that we're going to attract. But what do you find is the most common? Now, you mentioned that, you know, you've already met your twin flame.
Mm-hmm.
But you're with right now a soulmate?
Correct.
Okay.
Soon to be divorced. Give me 3 more weeks.
I see. Does she know this yet?
Oh, yes. We've been separated for quite a while.
Okay.
And again, you know, just like I tell people about, you know, blocks from either this life or past lives, the reason that my soulmate, and by the way, I had gotten divorced. All right, let me give you a little bit more of my story, if I can, Lori. I was married and in meditation, and I was shown that I was going to get married. And I saw the woman in white, and later I saw the woman's finger, a long, thin finger, and an engagement ring on it and all that. And I come out of meditation and say, I'm not getting divorced, even though it wasn't a great marriage. I'd been married 30 years and had 3 children with her, but we fought, and, you know, I had a different outlook on life. She was a Taurus and I'm a Gemini, so I'm up in the sky. She's down on the ground and won't move, you know, that kind of thing. So, sorry.
You're a little stubborn.
Yeah, a little. So because of that, you know, I was shown that I was going to get divorced, and I said, no, I'm not. And a year later, I was divorced. But I was shown that I was going to meet this woman. Now, what happened was the guru had given us a prayer to call our soulmate. And so I said that prayer intensely. Every day I would, on the bus to work, on the train to work, constantly saying it, annoyed the people sitting next to me as they tried to read a book, because I was saying it out loud. And then one day I was working out swimming at the Y, and I turned to God, just like I said before, you know, and I said, when's it going to happen? You know, come on, give me an answer. I want to know what's going on here. And he played the Candid Camera song for me. When you least expect it, you're elected, you're the host today. All right, so I got the message. It was, it's going to happen in its own time. I said, okay, done. I'm not asking anymore. I'm not praying anymore. It'll happen when it happens. Well, circumstances, and I won't go into all the details now, but synchronicity happened so that it worked out that I got a free ticket to fly to see one of my sons in Florida. He took me to an alternative healing expo. First person walks in as a speaker, walks in. I see her aura filling the entire room in a way I never had, and I knew that that was her. I met with her after, asked her three questions, which were the key questions. I had said to God, this is the person. They must answer these three questions. She answered them perfectly, and I knew that she was the wife in a particular lifetime that I had. But the reason we came together was to resolve the issues in that lifetime that I knew she was my wife, and in another lifetime when I was her father. Mm-hmm. When we resolved those two issues, and believe me, it was not a great marriage, and she knows it, she acknowledges it, it wasn't a great marriage, but we had to work these things out. At that point, a book came into our presence that made us conscious of the fact that we were not living in our truth. I walked out of the bedroom, came back. She read the book, asked for a divorce, and we're getting the divorce now. But soulmates, unlike twin flames, soulmates come together not necessarily in perfect alignment and harmony. They may have things to work out. Does that kind of make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think our soulmates or people from our soul group are definitely here to assist our soul's evolution, whether that, you know, is finishing something up or, you know, allowing ourselves to, I mean, you can have relationships with our soulmates, but at the same time, some of the people from our soul group may have nothing to do with romance, may have something to do with work, may have something to do with a friend, maybe in your family. So it's true that they're not necessarily there for romance and fulfillment, but we often think of that. Okay, so looks like we're ready to go to our next break, which will be our last break. And it looks like we possibly have somebody else calling in or instant feeding back. So we may or may not be able to take any more. You can give us a call, 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have our newest co-host, Shaman Rai, with us. And we do have a phone call. So we probably won't be able to take any more. But we are on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
I need somebody help, not just anybody help. You know I need someone help.
Life's a game. Win. Call and get advice from today's top coaches that are here to help you run a business, offer legal advice, enrich your relationships, or guide you on the right career path. Our coaches are expert professionals in their field to help you win the game of life. Listen to Coach Me Radio, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We are introducing our newest co-host, Shaman Rai. We're giving him a lovely welcome today because everybody is calling in. Why don't we take our last caller, which is Erica. Hi, Erica.
Hi. Give me 1 second. Yes. Okay. So my question is, I have had this pull to do something on a spiritual level in terms of my future, I'm so drawn to do something, and I don't know what it is. I have been on a spiritual path for the last year and a half, and I'm not getting a lot of support from family or anything, but it's just something that's just so important to me. And I can't read enough, I can't absorb enough, and I feel really drawn to something or to help or give back in some way, but I'm just not sure what that means.
Okay. Hey, Lori, I need a little help here because it wasn't totally clear to me. It sounds like she's drawn to something spiritual, that her family's not supporting her, and she doesn't quite know what that is.
Right.
Okay.
That's right. And sorry, I actually had earplugs in, and I just realized that's probably not an easy way for you to hear me. So I took them off, and you're right. That's absolutely right. I've been on a spiritual path for the past year and a half. I'm not getting a lot of support from family, and but I just feel like there's something meant for me to be doing, and I just don't know what it is. So I'm wondering if anything comes up for you.
Okay. Before I even go into anything specific for you, I'm told to tell you a little story about myself, which is along the lines of what you're experiencing. I was going through major changes. I told a story earlier when the scar appeared on my chest.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, that's you.
Maybe. That's me?
No. It's Erica.
Oh.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Are we okay now?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. When the scar opened up on my chest because I was getting a whole spiritual opening was taking place. And I was very concerned because my family did not support me at all. My wife or my children, they just thought I was completely crazy.
That's right. I'm not exactly.
Okay. And I went to a psychic. I was going to a psychic every week because of so much was happening to me that I didn't understand. And it had to do with the work I was doing in the world as a volunteer, as well as my spiritual opening and all of that. And she said to me at one time, she said, you know what, this is a choice that you make, okay, and I'm getting chills now so I know I'm to tell you this, that this is a choice for you to make, that there's a path that people start to move on. Once they start to make that choice to move on the spiritual path, that's the path they take. And I will tell you that I spent many days reading the Bible over and over and over again to find out, even when I decided to divorce my first wife, I read the Bible over and over. Because what it is you have your truth. Whatever your truth is within you, you must live that truth. And I mentioned before that when my current wife and I, my soulmate and I, when we decided to divorce, the book that we read was a book by Anita Morjani on her near-death experience. And what she realized when she got to the other side was the reason that she had stage 4 cancer was she was not living her truth. So you must live your truth. That's why you're here. And when that truth awakens within you, that's the path that you must follow. And you don't always see the path clearly before you. It kind of unfolds. And I think this is the energy is just coming through me now. So this is the message that they want you to hear. The truth unfolds within you very slowly, and it's like a reveal. You get to stage one, and I got to this town where I'm in now, and then things happened, then something else happened, and then I got connected with Lori, and little bit by little bit, all of these things start to, until your full truth is open and revealed. So what there is for you to do is to go into your heart, go into where your truth resides. That's where your truth is, where you feel that love. That's the path for you to take. And when I was involved with somebody in some work, we used to sing a song called Crazy, and what it basically said is let everybody call you crazy. It doesn't matter. You're not going to be part of the sheep and just go and follow what the masses are telling you to do. You're going to be who you are and live that life, and that's what's there for you. And so while I'm not being shown a specific path for you at this time, you are to look within your heart and follow that path of truth for yourself. There may be bumps in the road, but if you follow that truth that's in your heart, that's the best way for you to proceed at this time and not worry about what the people are thinking of you, telling you. You know, at times you may have to break off and not communicate with those people because their vibration is bringing you down.
People would be my husband, and I'd listen to your story about your wife, and that's very, very similar to me. I have two kids, I'm married, but I have the fighting too, and then this tension with the I'm very much up here and he's very much grounded and won't move or even think, and that doesn't feel like my truth anymore. I'm starting to break away from that. So I am totally aligned with what you're saying. Kind of going about that path.
I understand. Thank you very much. Okay. I hope it's helpful to you.
Thanks, Erica.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So it's been a very full show. Do you have any, with all the calls that you've got, do you have any, maybe guidance that you want to offer as your last thoughts?
I think the comments that came out in this last conversation were the most critical, which is where truth lies is in our heart, not in our heads, not in our brains, but in our hearts. And so when we find that person who really resonates in our heart, that is the one for us to be. When we see a place with a house or a town where it resonates in our heart, that's the path for us to follow. We don't know what's going to come next. So the place to live is from the heart, to live with love, to raise our vibration. That is most critical. The earth is raising its vibration. All of us are raising our vibrations. Get rid of those blocks and raise the vibration and live in that space of love.
Nice. All right. Well, that is a lovely way to begin this incredible journey that we're on, because I have a feeling that this is going to be a fun one, and we're going to do a lot of good here. So again, thank you, Shaman Rai. And you have been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. To find out more about Shaman Rai, go to his website, shamanrai.com. You can also find him on Facebook. And again, Rai is spelled R-A-I. The next time Shaman Rai will be with us will be on August 2nd, which, yay, that'll be great. If you had questions and you wanted to ask them, that would be the next time to connect in with him. All right, so you've been listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.